The Christmas display, Christmas lighting committee will meet after church. Is that right, Mark?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And Wayne has brought in some CDs that he made, and he has them free. But if you'd like to give a donation, he'd be happy to accept it. For Mitch to have a little spending money when he gets to Israel. So if anybody's interested, they're on the table out in the foyer, and put a little little money in the hat. I've heard part of it, and it is great. Prayer list. We won't go into additions or subtractions this morning, but I would like for everybody to take a good hard look at the list we have on the bulletin this morning, and take one of the prayer request forms. And if you know of anybody that needs to be taken off the prayer list or anyone that should be added to it, write that down. You'll have plenty of time during the sermon. You can do that. And thank you, Mitch. And give them to me after the service, or just put them on the serving table out there in the in the dining room. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. Let's stand and sing. I will sing unto the Lord, for he is triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he is triumphed gloriously, horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Amen. Let's turn to number 162. For our prayer hymn this morning, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a prince so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. Find a solace there. Brother Mitch, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father and God, we thank you so much for all of your many, many blessings. Lord, wow. The beauty that we see around us. The warmth of the sun, the rain as it comes and cools and waters. And then the green and the beauty of the flowers. All of the things that you have created, they show the glory of your handiwork. Lord, we know that you are beautiful because everything you made is beautiful. And so, Lord, we ask this morning that you bless each and every one that is here, everyone that hears this message. We pray that you will come in power this morning. Move us closer to you. Lord, there is nothing on earth as precious as you. There is nothing in heaven more precious than you. So, Lord, we are here to worship you. Use this time for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Now, if you'll join us in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. And let's turn to hymn number 118. Faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword.
Faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee to death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they like them could die for thee. The faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee. And through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then be truly free. stride and preach thee to as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life, faith of our Father's holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Amen. As we prepare for our communion service, let's turn to number 248, Blessed Redeemer. We use that as our communion hymn. And following that, Brother Wayne will give us our meditation. Number 248, Blessed Redeemer. We'll not be standing on this one.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, for Christ my Savior, weary and worn, praying for sinners, death on the cross, that he save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. Meanwhile, his lifeblood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while such but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and for sinners plead, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious, Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading,
want and a needing, dying for me.
Amen. Brother Wayne.
Good morning. Many years ago, when I was a kid growing up, whenever we had special gatherings with my family, we always expected Mother to make chicken and dumplings. And, you know, no one could make them like she did. I had four sisters that tried, but none of them succeeded. So it's a memory that I keep all the time. I keep every time, every holiday, you know, I remember that. When Jesus had his last supper, he gave the disciples a memory. Amen. Something to eat, something to drink, as reminders of him. Can you imagine those disciples, for all the rest of their lives, they remember that. Amen. Every time they took the unleavened bread and the juice, the memories of Jesus would come flooding back to them. They remembered their last meal together before his crucifixion. They remembered him washing their feet, remembered all of his miracles, his teachings, his instruction, his promises, and his horrifying death, and his fantastic resurrection and his ascension.
Amen.
We all do this in remembrance of him. Dear Lord, thank you for being with us today, and for all the blessings of life that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, and remembering that we are saved only by your good grace. Please bless these emblems with us today, and be with all who partake. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Jesus and his disciples were in the upper room eating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and broke it, passed it among them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat ye of it." And likewise the cup, when they had eaten, Jesus blessed it, gave thanks, and passed it among them, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. Drink of it, all of you." Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Number 297. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took the offer of me. mercy did proffer, save me, oh, praise his dear name. Save and came down, and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. To curdle from his precious hand I receive. Heaven when at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen. Heard a preacher say one time, the only thing that will turn a good church into a better church is a little more singing and a little more praying. And so we're getting the singing part in anyway this morning. This next hymn is one that we normally reserve for Thanksgiving. Don't know why we should, but we'll use it this morning because it has a direct tie-in with the sermon in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Come, ye thankful people, come. Number 588.
Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his praise to yield. Meet and test for gather soul unto joy or sorrow prone. First the blade and then the ear, then the foot. What a harvest crown that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and shall from his field shall he. grace of glorious harvest home.
Amen. Amen.
Birthdays, anniversaries.
Birthday? Oh, we did, didn't we? All right. Who has a birthday this week? It's all right. You can owe us. Yeah, we take it. It's when? June 16th. Okay. So that's two birthdays.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Anniversaries? No one's celebrating an anniversary this week. Okay. Now can we go on after that? That's the first mistake this year, Mitch. Of course, it's the first time I've been here this year. Brother Wayne, I believe you have the scripture this morning. Is that right? Hello? Okay, what was his name?
David
Shamton. David. Okay. Was he?
So. Yeah.
Chapter of Matthew, verses 24 through 30. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed the seed of the weeds among the wheat and then went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'"
All right. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Yes, Leroy. That sounds like you, Leroy. Sister Kathy, you have something you want to share this morning. It's a reading that I think you will all enjoy, so we'll have her come on up and share. Come on up here. Don't wait till I'm done. I was talking to fill in while you're on your way, so come on. We're on the air here. We can't have any dead air, so come on. You come up here where I'm at. Come right up here where I'm at. That way the camera don't have to move. Just you move.
I'm so scared it's in 20 font. Okay, well, first of all, I wanted to say thanks to Mary, Chris. She's the person who introduced me to Chuck Meisler and these videos that she's been getting and I've been sharing with her. Is where this came from. It's from the Kiona House Ministries. And it's really been inspiring, and this is a short little part in this video. And basically, it's the idea, I thought that, you know, now that we're getting back to some normalcy, and we're getting back into the groove of church, and we're going back to work or finding that new job, it kind of hit me that, boy, what a resume. If you could only write this resume. So, keeping that in mind. It says, do you really know him? He is the King of the Jews, the King of Israel, the King of all ages, the King of heaven, the King of glory, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. He was a prophet before Moses, a priest after Melchizedek, a champion like Joshua, an offering in the place of Isaac, a king from the line of David, a wise counselor like Solomon. He beloved, rejected, and exalted son like Joseph, and yet far more. The heavens declare his glory, and the firmament shows his handiwork. He who is, he who was, and always will be. The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the Alph and the Tau, the A and the Z. He is the first fruits of them that slept. He is I am me. I am that I am. He is the voice of the burning bush. He is the captain of the Lord's host. He was the conqueror of Jericho. He is the enduringly strong. He is internally sincere. He is internally steadfast. He is immortally graceful. He is empirically powerful. And is he impartially graceful? In him dwells the fullness of God, the head, the very God of the very God. He is our kinsman redeemer, and he is our avenger of blood. He is our city of refuge, our performing high priest, our personal prophet, and our reigning king. He is the loftiest of ideas in literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the supreme problem in the highest criticism. He is the miracle of the ages. He is the superlative of everything good. You and I are beneficiaries of a love letter that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea over 2,000 years ago. He was crucified on that cross of wood, yet amazingly, it stood on a hill that he made. By him were all things made that were made. Without him was nothing made that was made. By him, all things are held together. What held him to that cross? It wasn't nails. It was his love for you and me. He was born of a woman so that we could be born of God. He humbled himself so that we could be lifted up. He became a servant so that we could be made joint heirs with him. He suffered rejection so that we could become his friends. He denied himself so that we could freely receive all things. He gave of himself so that he could bless us with everything. He is available to the tempted and tired. He blesses the young, cleanses the lepers, delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He discharges the debtors. He forgives the sinners. He franchises the meek. He guards the besieged. He heals the sick. And he rewards the diligent. He serves the unfortunate. And he sympathizes and he saves. His offices are manifold. He reigns in righteousness. His promises are sure and limitless. His goodness abounds. His light is matchless. His grace is sufficient. His love never changes. His mercy everlasting. His word is enough. His yoke is easy and his burden light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's irresistible. He's invincible. The heavens of the heavens cannot contain him. The man cannot explain him. The Pharisees could not stand him, and they learned they could not stop him. Pilate could not find fault with him, and the witnesses could not agree against him. Herod could not kill him. Death could not handle him, and the grave could not hold him. He has always been and will always be. He has no predecessor, no successor. You can't impeach him. And he is not going to resign. His name is above every name, that is Yeshua. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Is he coming for you? What a resume.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Kathy. The first time I heard that message, or one very similar to it, several years ago, was an elderly black man, and he had every bit of that memorized, and I mean, he was preaching. He was preaching it. It was powerful. Very good. Thank you. And so now we're ready to move on here in our study. We had the parable of the sower last week, and now we're moving into the parable of the weeds. You know, Jesus is dealing with issues here that are something we all have to face at some point in time. We all have struggles. We all have trials and temptations. We all face some kind of difficulty in life. You know, with the parable of the sower, the seed was the same, but there was different kinds of soil, and each different kind of soil had a different result. And I said then, and I still say again, that I believe that at different times in our lives, we all go through all four different types of soil. Sometimes we're ready to receive what God is giving us. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we think we're ready when really we're not. And so now he moves on then and talks about the weeds and the tares. And his servants come to him and say, Master, didn't you have good seed? When they say, didn't you plant, what they mean is, didn't you provide us with good seeds and we planted them? Okay, because he didn't plant it himself. He is the master, the owner. It's his property, it's his land, it's his crop. But he has servants who did the actual planting. And in that way, you and I are his servants. We plant the seeds. It's our job to go out and plant the good seed. Now, he says, yes, I planted good seed. They said then, well, what has happened? Where have these tares come from? Why is there weeds growing up with your wheat? And he says, an enemy has done this. Well, we know later on when this is explained, the enemy is the devil, of course, and he comes along and he tries to rob everyone. Have you ever went out and witnessed to someone, and about the time that this person is about ready to accept Jesus Christ, you can just feel it. You can tell it. They are so in tune with the message, and they have received it, and they're getting deep. And about that time, their cell phone rings. And it's gone. The moment has passed. It just breaks it. That's Satan, folks. That's Satan. Or someone will walk up and say, hey, what's going on over here? I literally one time was talking to a person in a restaurant, and as I was getting this person was so engrossed and asking questions and really enjoying it, and about that time, somebody he knew walked over and started talking, and the moment was gone. It was over. It was done. In fact, this person thought that I had cornered. This person was trying to sell them something. I was trying to sell them on Jesus to receive free salvation. And, you know, when we get together with someone to share, you can always expect that the devil is going to be upset. When you go into, let's say, enemy territory, let's say we're in a battle, and we're going into enemy territory to try to find a person of the enemy who will switch sides and come to our side and come back with us. Now, do you think that if someone else in the enemy territory sees you talking to them, they're going to just stand there and watch? No. No, especially if it's the captain or a general. They're going to see that, and they're going to be upset, and they're going to, not only are they going to try to stop you from bothering this person. They want to hold you captive if they can. And that's the way the devil does, folks. When we go out and share the gospel, when we go out and talk to someone who is not a Christian, we're going into enemy territory. We are going in to try to bring them out of that side of darkness, the battle on the side of the darkness, and try to bring them into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And the devil does not want us to do that. He will do literally anything and everything that he possibly can to stop that from happening. That's why when we go, we need to say, hey, can we turn our cell phones off while we talk here for just a few minutes? We need to be in a place where we can truly isolate from other events, other things that could happen, so that we have a true opportunity to grasp this person's attention and share with them where they can honestly receive the truth and make an informed decision. Does that mean that they will always break down and say, oh, yes, I want Jesus? No, it doesn't. But it does mean that you will have a greater opportunity to make sure that you are as effective in delivery as you possibly can be. And then that seed is planted, whether they are ready to receive it right then or not. But the enemy wants to come along and say, what about this? You know, if you become a Christian, all the partying and drinking you're doing, you can't do that anymore. Jesus won't like that. And you know you want to keep doing that, don't you? Well, yeah. Folks, I faced that one personally. I know what he can do in those areas. He can make you stop and think, Christians have no fun. They haven't been to this church. We have a lot of fun. There is so many lies that the devil wants to tell you. The church is dull. People that accept Jesus Christ is stupid. They're not smart people. If they were smart, they would know better. On and on and on the lies go. And those are the tares that the enemy sows into the hearts and minds of the people who we are trying to give the good seed. We've planted the good seed. And as we plant that good seed, the enemy comes along. And if he can't snatch it up, then he tries to choke it out and keep it from growing, keep it from going anywhere. I remember as a young man that when I first, at 14 years of age, when I first started to really get serious about accepting Jesus Christ, when I really decided, hey, this is real, this is a good thing, I need to do this, I need to live for Jesus, and I got on fire, excited. I was stupid, but I was still on fire, and I went out and tried to share Jesus with all of my friends, and they kept slapping me down and telling me how stupid I was, and hey, I know you. You're just as bad as I am. Who do you think you are to tell me about Jesus? If I'm going to hear from Jesus, it's going to have to be from somebody else, somebody who don't live the same way I do. And I said, I don't live that way anymore. Yeah, right. I can remember there was a young man in the church where I grew up, and he could sing. Wow, he could sing. He used to sing, I Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop. He got requests for that all the time. And I mean, he could sing that like, literally everybody was on fire when he sang. And I remember he was trying to live for Jesus, but he was still struggling with using marijuana and other drugs. He would still drink from time to time. He'd fall away and slip, and then he would come back. And I remember it got to be to a point to where it was kind of an ongoing joke, unfortunately. He doesn't mean it again. He doesn't mean it again. He's coming forward again. He doesn't really mean it. Unfortunately, he didn't live a long time. But he did get it right. So I believe I'll see him in heaven.
You know, every time God does something good, every time God does something good, Satan wants to counteract it. Satan wants to try to undo that, to make it look like it's not what it really is. You know, the devil cannot create anything. He is not an inventor. He is a mimic. He only copies what God does. But when he copies it, it has a different reasoning behind it. It has a different motive. It's to bring glory away from God instead of to God. How many of you people in here ever heard of fake news? Yeah, out there, I'm sure people have heard of fake news. Why do they call it fake news? Because it's not true. It's got a spin on it that makes it seem like it is something that it is not. Folks, that's exactly what Satan does to the scripture. He tries to turn the scripture into fake news. He tries to make it say something it does not say. I can't tell you how many people that I have ministered to over the years who really and truthfully thought, I don't know where they got the idea, whether they heard it on the radio or read it somewhere in some book, but they really had the idea that if I just get really serious about serving Jesus, I'll become rich. I'll become rich. I can have anything I want. I mean, because I have the power of God at my fingertips. Folks, that's a lie from the pit of hell. We are not granted the power of God. I'm sorry. But the power of God is used to bless us when we obey him, when we serve him, when we read his word and get to know him through his word, get to know what he has in store for us, what he wants from us, what he expects from us, and what he demands from us. And then we make a determination. Yes, I am going to do this. Yes, I am going to obey what the Lord wants. Yes, I am going to work towards doing every single thing that you, Lord, have said I need to do. The moment that we say yes, Jesus smiles. All of heaven smiles and throws a party. Yeehaw! Glory to God. They are happy in heaven when we hear, make a decision. Yes, Jesus, I'm going to serve you. Yes, Jesus, I'm going to obey you. Yes, Jesus, I'm going to lay down all of these things, these bad habits that I had in the past. I'm going to lay down the drinking. I'm going to lay down the drugs. I'm going to lay down the womanizing. I'm going to lay down all of these things behind. I'm going to lay down materialism. Now I just got to learn to lay down overeating. I'm working on it. Little by little, I'm getting there. You know, the Lord pointed out to me, you turn to food for comfort. Why don't you turn to me? Kind of makes sense, don't it? Something I got to work on. We all have tares in our life. And we have to work on getting rid of those tares. Now, in the parable, it goes on to talk about how the end times, the eschatology, eschatologically, he's talking about the end times here. When he talks about the wheat and the tares in the end, they ask, do you want us to go out and pull up the tares? And he said, no, because if you do, you might also pull up the wheat with it. We will wait until the harvest comes. Now, these tares were of a nature that they looked a lot like the wheat. They had the same leaves, they had the same color, but the heads on them were, they looked similar, but they had a little smaller head, whereas the wheat had bigger heads of grain. So this was something, again, that is an imitation of the real thing. The devil always wants to send an imitation into the church, folks, to try to cause people to fall. So we have to be aware and be wise
and we have to use the discernment of the Holy Spirit to make sure we're not misled, even by someone within the church. And it doesn't matter if it's our church or someone else's church. They're good, but there's always, the devil tries to place someone within the church, a spy, if you will. Just like we go into the enemy territory and try to pull them out, Satan does the same thing. So we have to be aware. We have to know the scripture. We have to know Jesus. We have to know the truth. And we have to follow it and hold on to it. And then they say that in the end, he said, when it's harvest time, then the angels, the reapers will come. And they will first remove the tares, bind them up, and burn them in the fire. That's eternal hell, folks. That's where the tares are going. But then also they will gather the wheat and put them into my barn. Whoo, glory. We're going to heaven, folks. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus for all of eternity. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to say, hallelujah! I am excited about going to meet my Savior, to speak to Him face to face. I want to sit down with Paul and Peter and John and James. I want to sit down and have a conversation with them about what was it like when you were doing this? Can you imagine? We get to sit down and ask Daniel, what was it like when you were in that lion's den? Were you nervous? Even for a little while? Even at first? Were you just a little bit scared? I mean, you know, we're going to have some really interesting conversations, folks. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. And you know, just like church is not boring, like some people think, heaven's not either. We're not going to be sitting around on clouds listening to music, you know. We're going to be praising and worshiping God. We're going to be having fun. We're going to get to know all of the family of God for all centuries, for all time. Wow. Can you imagine? And not only this, but get this. When you and I are 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10,000 years old in heaven, we still know every person in heaven by name as we meet them. We won't have to say, I can't remember, sorry. We'll know them. We'll know them as soon as we see them. Why? Because the Spirit. We will be made perfect like Jesus. Wow, I'm looking so forward to that. We need to work at planting the good seed. And we need to also work amongst ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ to help uproot any tares that Satan tries to plant within us. We need to look in our own lives and find the tares that Satan, the lies that Satan has tried to feed us, and to make sure that we are overcomers of those things. So, this morning, if you have a need, just mind the Lord. If you want to come forward when we have our invitation hymn, come forward. If you want to pray where you are, pray where you are. But look into our lives. Find the lies, and let's make sure we know the truth so that we can be set free. Amen.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 364, The Savior is Waiting. Let's stand and sing.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you find His arms open wide. Receive Him, and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart He'll abide. Time after time He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come in.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
All right. Something I did want to share is that starting the first Sunday in July, I'm going to go back to all of our classes that we were having. We're having Tuesday nights already because there's just three of us usually, sometimes four, but they were ready to go ahead and start, so we did. But beginning in the first week of July, we will start our Thursday nights and our Sunday night Bible studies, assuming that there's not a reoccurrence. So we'll see. Pray, because at this point, we're planning to go to Israel September, October. So pray for us that can go ahead and happen. The things will be opened up. All right. Brother Bob, what else do we have here?
We hope that you're still holding on to your 30 pieces of silver. Next week might be a good time to bring those in if we can all remember to do that.
Yeah.
Bring them and we'll collect them next Sunday, and they will be going to a someone who can make very good use of them.
Yeah. One more thing is, I think it was Mary asked, Father's Day. Father's Day's 2 weeks, two Sundays, not next Sunday, but Sunday following, and we will have Mother's Day and Father's Day gifts here.
Okay, sounds good. And John,
good time for Mark for you to sing your song.
I thought we'd save that for Father's Day.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Oh, that day,
right,
2 weeks.
Right. So, well, to those who are watching on Facebook, we at Lexington Christian Church want to welcome you. Thank you for your attendance. And Brother Mitch, if you will dismiss us, please.
All right.
You what?
I got such a blessing driving the bus and feeding those kids. It just made it so good.
Amen. Amen. Serving others is being a servant for God, and it's always a good feeling. It's always a blessing. All right. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for being here with us this morning. We pray that you will continue to be with us as we leave here, Lord, draw us in closer to you every moment of every day. Help us to focus on you, to get to know you more, and to do our best to obey you in every way we possibly can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Are you happy to be a member of the family of God this morning? Yeah? Okay, let's sing about it.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family, the family.
Blessed day. We'll see you next week.